Hallelujah. Lord, there's nothing I need to do. Your greatness is far beyond our understanding. Your greatness is far beyond our comprehension.
Hallelujah.
There's just nothing
Hallelujah.
I need to do.
Hallelujah. 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 Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for being so real. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Bless your mighty name. Bless your mighty name. He's a great, big, wonderful God, isn't he? Amen. He's a wonderful God, and I appreciate him. You can be seated in Jesus' name. It is good to be in the state of Louisiana tonight to meet you folks. I've heard a lot of good things about you, and I've heard some other things too, and they were good. And I heard something else, and it was good too. So you can relax. Amen. And it's just good to be here. It's very good to be here. I count on the privilege to be here with you folks. There's one thing I'd like for it to be another way, really. I'd like to be out there and I'd like to be listening to Brother Shirley preach. A few weeks ago, I told my wife that I felt that after about a year or so, felt that I need to get away and relax after a period of time. The responsibility of the kingdom become great and demands a lot physically, and I felt like I need to get away and relax and hear other people preach and just relax. So here I am in the state of Louisiana, and I'm here preaching again. So I wish he was preaching tonight. I appreciate Brother Shirley. He means a lot to me. He is my pastor. He always will be my pastor. That can never change, never will change. And I appreciate my pastor's wife. Hello, Sister Shirley. Nice to see you and Troy and the entire family. So good to be here in a church that believes in revival. God is a wonderful God. He's a great, big, wonderful God. I was thinking today that oftentimes we look at God as just being God. I know that sounds odd, but we think of him as just being God. He's just God. But sometimes we need to stop and think about how great of a God he is. He's a big God. He's a wonderful God. And matter of fact, the God that we serve is an unlimited God. There's nothing that he cannot do. He can do all things. And we're privileged and honored tonight because one day he desired to leave an ivory palace of glory. And he came and walked among a world full of wickedness and sin and ungodliness to give himself that we might be redeemed and that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. So that one day that we as his children, as his bride, can say, I can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengtheneth me. Hallelujah. There was a time that we could not say that because we were slaves to sin. There was a time that we could only move and be responsive to the powers of Satan. But I'm glad that Jesus bought me back at Calvary. Hallelujah. He didn't sell me out in the garden. Adam sold us out to Satan. But Jesus bought us back at Calvary. And I'm so glad for that tonight. My mind cannot get off the thought and how the subject about how great God is. He's just a wonderful God. He's a magnificent God. And my attempt tonight is some way, by some means, if I just talk to you for a few moments or get excited and just really turn loose and preach, but somehow I want us to walk out of here different than we walked in. I want to be able to go out of here with knowledge that we didn't have before. And if I appear to be a little bit nervous tonight, you're absolutely right. And I'm nervous this much because this is a new church, new people, new faces. But I'm nervous this much because I'm standing before God and I've got to produce for the kingdom's sake. Amen. I want to do what God wants tonight. And how many of you folks are open, you're willing, you're ready to receive from the Lord? Amen. Hallelujah. He's a great, big, wonderful God. Amen. Revival's in Kentucky, believe it or not. Those hillbillies are finding God too. Hallelujah. Getting the Holy Ghost on a consistent basis, one here and two there and off and on. But I want to see greater revival because we're living in that time that we don't have much time left. So we need to put our hands to the plow. Don't look back. If you ever look back, it's just going to slow you down. The past has nothing to hold on to, only the future. Amen. And our future is in a greater place than this earth has to offer. If our hope was only in this realm of life that we live right now, then we'd be all men most miserable. But our hope is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Our hope is found in Him. Amen. David put it in such beautiful words. I'm very impressed with David. He boasted about the things of God. He lifted the Lord up. If you will turn with me while I'm talking to you to Psalms. You can tell I'm nervous tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Psalms chapter 104. Psalms 104. But David has always been an impressive man to me. I've learned a lot about him and some things that has been interesting. It's been a blessing. And that is that David, at one time, because of his failure to God, it seemed like he instantly reached out. Suddenly his life was changed. He spent the rest of his days writing psalms, prayers unto the Lord. And some of the things that he said unto God is so impressive. And that's what it was all centered around. He tried his best to impress God. He talked to God and told God just how great he was and how magnificent he was. He bragged about his garments, of how beautiful they were and how the knowledge that man could not perceive the knowledge of God and surpass or be equivalent to the greatness of God. Many times I can almost imagine David backing off and saying, "Now God, you've got big biceps and triceps. You're my King of Kings and my Lord of Lords." But David oftentimes talked about the greatness of God and His power. And I believe tonight that somehow that we can capture just for a few moments, in our minds we can conceive the thoughts, things of how great He is to us. Not just a God to say, "Now Lord, we love You and You're great and we have a need and we know that You can." But God, You're a magnificent God and we know that You will supply all of our needs. Amen. Not just can, but will. He is not a God that His arm is too short, His ears too heavy, that He cannot be a God that will redeem fallen man. Hallelujah. He is forever present. He said, "I will supply all your needs," A-L-L, all of your needs according to His riches in glory. Whatever you need tonight, my God will supply that need. Amen? Yes, He will. David said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, O Lord my God. Thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty, who coverest thyself with light as with a garment, who stretcheth out the heavens like a curtain, who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds his chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind, who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers of flaming fire, who laid the foundation of the earth that should not be removed forever. Thou coverest it with deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At thy rebuke they fled. At the voice of thy thunder they hasted away." And on this entire chapter is dedicated to the greatness of God. And tonight I want to preach to you just how great He is. How great He is. He's a great, big, wonderful, unlimited God. Tonight I believe that we're going to venture into some things that's going to be very simple. You see, I've heard that 1,000 times over. And I pray that we talk about some things that would be very interesting. Can we lift our hands right now and give Him glory and praise right now? Father, we thank You, Jesus, for Your greatness, for Your wonderful truth, for Your love and Your kindness. God, speak to our hearts today. God, we need to perceive tonight how great You are, Lord. God, we need to understand there's greater dimensions to walk into, Lord, tonight. And God, in those dimensions, there's great treasures that we have not possessed. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Speak to us today, God, and smile on this congregation. And God, smile on Your minister in Jesus' mighty name. We give You the glory and the praise. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Jesus. You're such a wonderful God. Such a mighty God. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. You can be seated. Hallelujah. The Lord said that His thoughts, men have a tendency sometimes to think for the Lord. You know, I think we all do that, don't we? Every once in a while, we might run into an obstacle in life or come to a point in life where we would like to confide in God. And then after we confide in God a little bit, we have a tendency to think, well, Lord, I think it should work this way, and God, I think we ought to do it like this. And really, many times we don't confide in God like we really need to. I think oftentimes by faith, we ought to walk by faith. I think we'll just put things in the hands of God. Too many times we try to care about His business, and my business is His business. Amen. We need to place on Him the cares, our cares, because He cares for us. Amen. Tonight, there's something that we need to understand, and I believe the Lord spoke it very plainly. And He said, I want you to understand something. He said this in the book of Isaiah, I believe it was chapter 55. He said, I want you to understand that my ways are, my ways is higher than your ways. That's very plain and a very common seeming of scripture we've heard so many times. But the Lord says, my way is higher than your way. And He said, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. He said, even as the heavens are from the earth, He said, my ways are higher. Hallelujah. His thoughts are not our thoughts, and His ways are not our ways. So we must understand tonight that we are very dependent on Him. We're dependent on a God that can do all things. If everything is possible with Him, but there's a whole lot of things that's impossible with us. And I believe that this church tonight is a church that is reaching for a greater dimension in God. I don't believe by what I feel and what I hear that this church is interested in remaining on the plateau that it's in. But I believe that there is a desire and a drive and a drawing through faith to reach into a higher dimension and grow for the Lord and progress for Him and do great exploits for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And I believe that we can do that when we can recognize how simple we are and how great He is and how wonderful He can move for us and how many things He can do for us. Hallelujah. He is not just God, but He is the Almighty God tonight. Hallelujah. He's the Almighty God. I can do nothing, but He can do all things. Hallelujah. And I, through Him, can do all things. So now that scripture, if I believe if Paul was saying, now I can do all things, and just left it like that, now that he left himself open. But he said, I can do all things through Christ. Through Christ, which strengtheneth me. He gives me my strength. He is my motivator. He is my power. Hallelujah. He's my source. He's my energy. And He's a God that is more than enough. Hallelujah. He's a great, big, wonderful God. A God, His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. But if I know and I understand that if I can put my ways in His ways and my thoughts in His thoughts and depend everything wholeheartedly on Him, He will never leave me wrong. He's a great, big, wonderful God. A magnificent God. He spoke to Father Abraham long before He changed His name. Matter of fact, this is the time that God spoke to Abraham and said, Abraham, He said, from this day on, He said, your name won't be Abram, but it's going to be Abraham. In the book of Genesis, chapter 17, may I read this for a moment? He said, and when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and He said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. And on, the Lord began to proclaim the blessings on Abraham. But the thing that stood out to me in this passage of Scripture this evening was in verse 1, he said, I am the Almighty God. Now, if you go back to the original, into the Hebrew, which the Old Testament was originally written in Hebrew. The original term that was in the place of Almighty God, of course, was El Shaddai. Which we know this is another name of God. And he was saying to Abraham, he said, Abraham, he says, I want you to know that I am the El Shaddai. He said, I am the God of your life. So in the translation during the period of 1611, I believe is when the translation was, the translators translated El Shaddai to Almighty God. That was the best term they could come up with. It meant He was Almighty. He could do all things. But sometimes we just say Almighty God. We've been raised to hear that term, and we really don't understand the significance of that meaning. But if you go back to the original and dig it out and find the magnified definition of El Shaddai, it means the God that is all sufficient. All sufficient. Amen. Not just sufficient, but He is the God that is all sufficient. But it didn't stop there. It went on just a little bit further. He said He was a God that was more than enough.
And isn't it strange that he would say that he was the God that is more than enough? Why can't he be just God enough? But he said he was a God that is more than enough. There's something that is abundant about God. He is so abundant, it is not just his desire to meet our needs, but oftentimes he surpasses our needs and gives us things that we don't even need. He's the Almighty God that is sufficient. He's all sufficient. And he's a God that is more than enough. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What did he say? He said, if you will just pay your tithe, give your offering, give it to the Lord. He said, I will open up the windows of heaven and pour out you a blessing that you could not contain. Have you ever stopped to think about that? Now, God, is God a wasteful God? Now, why would he do that? Why did he even say that? What was he? Was he trying to impress us? Was he trying to let us know how great he was? Absolutely. He was just fulfilling the same passage of Scripture where he spoke to Abram many hundreds of years ago, before this period of time, when he declared that he was the El Shaddai. God is a God that is more than enough. If you were given to him and do unto him, he said, I will give unto you more than enough. More than enough. I'm reminded of another passage of Scripture when the multitude had gathered together to listen unto the things that God had in store for them when they sat on the mountain and Jesus Christ ministered to the congregation. The Bible said when evening came that they were faint, they were tired, and it was time to disperse. And the Lord told them not to send the people away because they would faint. And he beckoned to them to bring what food they would have, and they would share it. And someone said, we don't have just a few fishes, two fishes and five loaves of bread. And the disciples began to logically figure it out, and they recognizing that this man that they were with, in times past, had opened up blinded eyes. He had opened up deaf ears. He could cause the tongue of the dumb to sing and the lame man to leap his heart. But yet they had seemed to forget that God then was more than enough. And the Lord says, wait a minute, you just bring what you've got to me, and we're going to bless, and it's going to be all right. Just that simple. So we all know the story. The disciples brought this food, this young lad had, to the Lord. The Lord blessed it, he broke it, and they dispersed it among the people. And when it was all finished, and everyone had eaten, and everyone was filled, and had sufficient, the Lord says, I want you to go back and get the fragments. I want you to go get and get those things that was left over. Now, again, we find another passage of Scripture here where the Lord is going to magnify himself to his people. Not to be a God just all-sufficient, but a God that is more than enough. When they went out to get that which was eaten and the crumbs had fallen, the Bible said they brought back 12 baskets of bread. Again, the Lord was showing his strength. Again, he was showing his magnification, how great in power he was. He was not just a God that is all sufficient, my friend, to meet your needs, but he was a God that was more than enough. They didn't need those 12 baskets of bread, but he wanted them to understand his nature. He's the same yesterday and today and forevermore. He's a God that will never change. We must understand tonight that God is sufficient to meet our needs. But what is so great, he is more than sufficient. Hallelujah. God does not function within our boundaries. No, sir. God does not function within our boundaries. We function within our human law and human rights and human boundaries. But God goes beyond those human boundaries. He can perform all great things, all mighty things. He's a wonderful God. How great is he today? He's great enough to supply your need. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. Hallelujah. He's a great, big, wonderful God. It goes back to the simple fact, many times we try to figure God out. We try to place him in our own category. We try to figure just how great he is. Well, we must understand, first of all, he's so great that we cannot figure him out. He's too great. He's too great. The Bible said he meted out the heavens with a span. He measured the waters in the hollow of his hand. Did not it say that? Hallelujah. Said that he measured or he comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure. And he weighed the mountains in a scale and the hills in a balance. Now, to me, that's a big God. That's a great God that can number the hair on every man's head that lives today and those that have lived and those that's going to live. He's a big God. And if that God is so great, then let me tell you something. He can heal your headache when it comes along. Amen. When you have a financial need, that God is more than sufficient to supply that need. He's a God that is more than enough. Hallelujah. He is unlimited.
He's an unlimited God. Whatever you need, He's there to do it. Amen. Meted out the heavens with a span. You know, the heavens is a vast thing, isn't it? So, well, you know, we know God meted out the heavens with a span. You know, He just did that and it was there. And, you know, He's God. Let me tell you something, just how great He is. There was an article that came out, I believe it was in the Los Angeles Times several months ago. And it was an article of surprise and amazement to all those that would consider themselves astrologers. Because our astrologers of our nation, of our country, that the brilliant men that deal in astrology, they had found something they never saw before. They had found an opening in the universe. They had found a big old hole, and they couldn't figure it out. And this big old hole was, I believe, the article said it was in the northern parts. And this article declared that this hole was 3 million light years in diameter. Just a little hole now, just up there in the universe. Now, let me tell you something. My God made the universe. My God made all things. He created the heavens and the earth. And way off in the northern parts, there's a little old hole that they have recognized. And they have, through their own calculations and their own intelligence, they have figured out that this opening into the universe, this void area that they cannot comprehend, is 3 million light years away. You know, that's not too much, is it? Because, you know, God is God. He's just God, and He made things, left a little hole up there. Maybe took His little pinky and stuck in there, and it was there. You know, God is God. But we need to understand He's greater than that. Hallelujah. He's greater than what we can ever comprehend. How many of you folks know what a light year is? I'm sure we got some intelligent people out there, and some that is intelligent but won't raise your hands because you're very humble. Amen. But all those that's not humble, raise your hands. You know how much a light year. A light year is the distance light will travel in a year. Boy, that took a lot of sense, didn't it? A light year. A light year is the distance it takes light to travel in a year. That's quick, and that's a long ways, isn't it? You know how fast light will travel in 1 second? 186,000 miles, is that correct? 186,000 miles in 1 second. That's a long ways, isn't it? In 1 second. In 1 second. Now, light will travel 186,000 miles in 1 second. But how long would it travel in 1 year? But how long would it travel in 300 million years? That's just the diameter of that little opening up there. Do I have to run that by us one more time? I have to think about it some to get into my head how great that is. That's far beyond our comprehension. But see, the Bible said God meted out the heavens with a span. He's so great He can hold this vast universe made up of all of its galaxies in the palm of His hand. But yet He is so mighty and so significant that He can live in the heart of a man. He's a great, big, wonderful God. You know why we're here today? It's because He was so great. He was so great that He came and gave Himself that we might have Him and that we might congregate together to worship Him and love Him and to magnify Him and to serve Him. Yes, sir. A great, big, wonderful God He is. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. So great that He recognized one day after we had fallen into a place of sin. He recognized by His own law of reconciliation that He could not come and give and be that sacrifice for us. He recognized that He, by law of reconciliation, that He was not kinsman to mankind. And we understand under the law of reconciliation, a man that was sold under bondage, the only way that he could be redeemed was for his kinsman to come. It took blood kin to go and buy that man back that was sold under bondage. How many of you folks are aware of what I'm talking about? Amen. So the Lord Himself recognized that He was not capable or He was not kinsman to humanity. He was not. He was the Creator and we are the creation. We're flesh and blood and He is the Spirit. But my God, hallelujah, He looked down and He saw our need. A world, a nation, a race that was lost and undone. It was hell bound. And He saw fit that He would come and become kinsman to us by robing Himself in flesh and giving Himself at Calvary that we might have that life and have that redemption. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm so glad that He is a God that is great enough to redeem me when I had fallen into a place of iniquity. Amen.
Well, I hope I'm not boring you, but I'm just proud of Him. Oh, He's a great, big, wonderful God, isn't He? Hallelujah. He's a great, big, wonderful God, a magnificent God. If I only say this over and over, Brother Shirley, then I feel like I've done my best, because I want to just brag about Jesus tonight. He's a great, big God. He's a wonderful God. And if He can meet out all the heavens in a span, and somewhere in all that, there's that little old dot that was stuck there that was 300 million light years across. Oh, He's a great big God. And no wonder He oftentimes becomes frustrated with us when we doubt Him. I believe that's the worst sin that can be committed, other than just the sin of blaspheming, is doubting God when He is so great and so magnificent. He's such a wonderful God. We oftentimes place the Lord within our boundaries. Now, Lord, it would take me probably a year to do this. But God, I've heard how great You are, and I believe, God, You can do it in a week. I believe that You're just that great, God, You can do it in a week. And you know what we begin to do? We begin to bring God down to our level. Hello? Come on now. We begin to work Him out and get Him all fixed up and get Him right where we want Him, and say, now God, now this is where it's got to be. And when it don't work like that, we always get upset. Now God, why didn't He work out just this way? But then when He works it out His way, we'll say, well, He's great. You know, He worked it out His own way. But we have a tendency, human nature, to pull Him down and do what we think. Well, Lord, it would take me 3 hours to do that. God, I just believe You can do it in 30 minutes. Amen. God, we need something. God, we got to have it by this Friday. And the day is Monday. We need it by this Friday at 4 o'clock. And God, Lord, we're going to believe that You're going to supply that need. So Tuesday rolls around. We still got 3 or 4 days left, and we're still full of faith. Wednesday rolls around, and only got about two or three days left, and we're still full of faith. And Thursday rolls around, and all of a sudden, the thing hadn't happened yet, and we're still wondering that. God, we really have faith in You, God, and we're going to get down and pray some more today. And God, you know, really, if You're going to move, You better get on it, you know. Don't have much time, God. Yes, sir. So we take God and we put Him in our little time boundaries, you know. Now, Lord, You got to work within this little working area here. If You don't, I just don't know. If we would trust Him and pray for more faith and trusting the Lord, just give it to Him and say, now, Lord, this is Your car. I've dedicated my car to You. It's Your car. It's broke. Now, God, You fix it. Now, God, here's the situation. We got a problem here, now, God, and it's about the church, and we need finance, and we need this, and we sit around. It's God's business. Put it in His hands, do all you can, and God, do what you can't. But it's where the thing that hinders God, the things that will stop God from performing the work, is when we sit around and have fear and doubt. Because faith is to God what fear is to the devil. You get faith working, the devil's got to pack up and go. He's got to take the next plane out. But if you got fear, you have just cut God off. He can't do nothing. Only the devil can do things for you. We need faith in Him and understand. Faith is just believing that He is the Almighty God and the God that is more than enough. Amen. Well, Lord, you know, man, we are really preached about how great You are on this Thursday evening, Lord. And tomorrow we only got about 24 hours left. And God, You got to work this thing out and get it out quick. Now, God, we need this. And God, you know, we have confidence in You. And then Friday morning rolls around, and we're so upset and so uptight, and 12 o'clock gets there, and they only got 4 hours left, and boy, I'm telling you, we're just really uptight. You know, we don't have confidence in God like we need to, because we need to understand how great He is. Let me show you how great He is. In the book of 2 Peter, could we all read together? I want you to follow with me in a passage of Scripture here. Amen. Could we all together say amen? In the book of 2 Peter, chapter 3. Oh, here's one of those scriptures here. Man, I didn't have to dig very long to get this one. Amen. One we've heard so many times. 2 Peter, chapter 3, and verse 8. He said, But be loved, be not ignorant of this one thing. Let's stop right there. He said, I don't want you to be ignorant of something. So we're going to learn something here. He said, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Oh, isn't that great? Fantastic. Everybody smile real big. We all know that scripture, don't we? He said, 1,000 years is to the Lord like one day, and one day to the Lord like 1,000 years. In other words, he's saying right here, time has no factor. But there's something we need to understand. But he was talking about how great computers are, how wonderful computers are, and how fast they can work, and all of these things. And you know, computers are pretty fast, aren't they? They're fast and they're vast. Maybe we have some computer people working in that field in computer technology. But I cut an article some time ago after I talked to this gentleman, and he revealed some things to me that I want to share with you in just a moment. I remembered an article that I'd cut out several years ago, and I went and I dug it up, and I had it in my notes, and I brought it here tonight. This article is about 8 years old, and this article is on concerning computers. It says, today's modern computers have abilities. Now, you might think, now, what does God have to do with computers? Just hold on. We're headed that way. Amen. Today's modern computers have abilities which stagger the mind. In the half second it takes spill coffee to fall from the table to the floor. The half second it takes spilled coffee to fall from the table to the floor. Today's large computers can, number one, it can debit 2,000 checks to 300 different bank accounts. And it can examine electrocardiograms of 100 patients. And it can score 150,000 answers on 3,000 exams, concurrently evaluating the effectiveness of the answers, and figure the payroll of a company of 1,000 employees and still have time before the coffee hits the floor. That's very impressive. But our computers can do that. And this article was 10 years old. And the gentleman was telling me, he said, we have a new finding in computers. He said, first of all, he said, our computers a few months ago, a year or so ago, worked off of what we call, he said, they could actually split circuits. They could do work within circuits. I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, we called that, when we split that circuit and they can actually do so much work in that circuit, he said, we called that a nanosecond. A nanosecond. And he said, a nanosecond is like this. He said, that is time within a circuit. He said, a nanosecond is time within a second. He said, to give you a good illustration, he said, a nanosecond to a second is like 1 week, or excuse me, 1 minute is to 100 years. I can't comprehend that. 1 minute is to 100 years. Oh, really? 1 minute is to 100 years. So that tells me they have broke down that second way on down there far more than I can comprehend. But he said, we have a new finding, and that is, excuse me, I believe that was 1 minute in 100 years. One week in 100 years. 1 week out of 100 years. He said, we have a new finding now. He said, we are doing real good in the computer field. He said, we have advanced equipment. And he said, we have our computers now can work in more and less time than that. He said, we have devised another term. We call it picoseconds. He said, a picosecond, he said, that splits the nanoseconds in half. And he says, or really in thirds, way on down there. He said, that means a picosecond to a second is like 1 week is to 300 years. So I don't believe it. You haven't been around computers very much. Computers are vast. They're quick. Men have become intelligent. They have taken a second. They have expanded a second. And we might call it nano. We might call it peco, and how they break up the second. But I'm convinced that too many times we take God and we keep him within our boundaries. Now see, we have so much time to do so many things. We have to comply to a time barrier or a time factor, for there is a time for all things. But let me tell you something. God doesn't work that way. God is not held within boundaries by time. God can perform great and mighty things. He can work in much quicker time than a petrosecond. Amen. If a computer can take a petrosecond and do work that would take me many years to do, then what can my God do in one split second also? He can build kingdoms in one second. He can destroy kingdoms in one second. He can create $1,000 and give it to you in one second. He can give you a new car. He can give you a new house. He can devise ways for you. Time is not a factor with God. We cannot keep Him in our boundaries. He's too great and He's too mighty. Hallelujah. He is a God that is all sufficient and a God that is more than enough. He's a God that is more than enough. Oh, I don't understand. We were driving down the road the other day, and, you know, it's a miracle. All of a sudden, somebody darted out in front of us, and we hit our brakes. It just seemed like God moved them out of the way. See, God had more time to work than what you think He does. See, while we were sitting there in that 1 second, it seemed like eternity. God took 1 second. Man, He worked a long time in that second. He did His own thing in that second. Hallelujah. I'm convinced God can take a second, stretch it out 300 years in His own understanding, in His own ways. Said, boy, that is more than what I can think. Sure, God is more than what we can understand. He is more than enough. He is all sufficient. He can do all things. Hallelujah. What is your need tonight? Is there something on your mind? Is there something that is depressing or suppressing your mind? Then God is more than enough that He can reach down in that mind. And He can take that troubling thought and that depressing thought, and He can take that out if we'll only turn it over to Him. And He can give us a mind of peace. Hallelujah. Amen. We got a difficulty in life. God will just only depend on Him and say, no, God, I can't do it no more. My hands are tied because I'm humanity. But God, You can come down and I'm going to depend on You. And He can come down and He can move walls of Jericho. He can move those armies that will rise up against you. He is a God that is more than enough. Oh, how great He is. How great He is. How wonderful He is. He's a great, big, wonderful, magnificent God. God can give revival. God can stir hearts. God can convict souls. While we pray here in West Monroe, Louisiana, God can deal with the hearts in El Salvador. God can convict souls in Texas. He can do anything. If He can do that, then He can bring conviction in the hearts of people up and down this street, or these streets in this community of West Monroe. If He can do that, if He fills 3,000 with the Holy Ghost on one day, or more than 3,000, He can give us a great revival in the hour that we live. God is a great God. Hallelujah. What I want to say tonight is, please, if we have built walls and barriers around God, let's tear these things down and realize He can do all things. He can do anything. We cannot limit Him any longer. Oh, but why haven't we had the early church revival that they had? Why don't we have the great restoration? I believe we're in that restoration. But the reason that we have not lived in that restoration is because the arm of flesh, we have depended on it too many times. We depend on our will thinking, and we think, well, it should be this way. And we need to turn it all over to Jesus and let Him handle it all. Handle it all. God, it's in Your hands. I believe that God can do all things. I believe it. I believe it. I believe that we can actually pray. Now we're really getting off on the deep end now. But I believe that we can actually pray that God would make this piece of property here so magnified with His presence that when sinners pass by, they will feel the conviction of God's Spirit. Oh, now, how many of y'all believe that? Now, the skeptical world says He can't do that. God don't work that way. He only works through human hearts. He does that, but He can do all things. He can do all things. He is not limited. He is all sufficient. He is the El Shaddai of our lives. He will perform all things. Hallelujah. A few months ago, matter of fact, maybe a year ago, many months ago, we prayed, and our church went up just, it was more, we emphasized on a little thought, and we began to pray about it. And the thought was this: the highway that our church sets on is set by, don't sit on the highway, believe me, but the highway that is near and the adjoining highway it's one of the main stretches between Cincinnati and Louisville. And most of the people in our community travels by there quite often. And I had the folks to pray. I said, now, why don't we just pray that when people come by this church, that there'll be such a drawing power and such a drawing force that they cannot pass it without looking. So I don't know what it is. Every time I pass that church, I just want to look at it. And just something get all over them and bring them under conviction, and God start bringing people into the church like this. Now, that's not eliminating our responsibility of going out and being the hands and the eyes and the ears of the Lord and relating to the world. But I believe that God can do all things. Hallelujah. So it wasn't long. God does answer prayer. One day, one of our ushers walked outside and was checking the parking lot. And a lady was just, she just got out of the car, shut her door, and she was sitting around looking at everything. And she was kind of watching, you know, looking across the church property. And the usher walked up and said, ma'am, said, can I help you, please? She said, well, she says, no, not really. She said, I'm just wanting to look around. She said, this might sound strange. She said, it might sound odd to you. But she says, every time I pass this place, there's something about it that just draws me here. My God can do all things. If God can do it in Carrollton, Kentucky, I know He can do it in West Monroe, Louisiana. Hallelujah. It's times the world don't drive by churches with truth and have a repulsive or a negative spirit. But it's time they drive by and feel the conviction of God's Spirit moving over them. One of our sisters went home the other day and testified or made comments to one of her or to her husband about the moving of God's Spirit. She says, honey, and this man is so negative. He is so worldly. Of course, he's not in the church. He's just anti-God. He's just always, just like an old bear. And she went home. She said, honey, you ought to go to church with me sometime. She says, every time we walk in the church door, you can feel the Spirit of God moving all over your body. And that man just broke down. He says, but honey, he says, every time I drive by that church, he said, I feel that running all over my body just driving by the place. Now I'm convinced that God can do all things. All He's wanting is somebody that is crazy enough to believe Him for that. Hallelujah. How many of y'all believe that we're living in the great day of revival? Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. God. Abraham, I want you to understand something. I want you to comprehend this. And friend, when he spoke those words have rung throughout eternal ages. And he said, I am the El Shaddai. I am the God that is all sufficient. And I am the God that is more than enough. And friend, he has become that to all generations that will trust him, to all families that will pray together and stay together. God will perform those mighty works and those mighty acts. We cannot figure it out, but he's a miracle-working God. Hallelujah. If we can work within his boundaries, we might understand a lot more about God. But we don't, and we're not going to, not until he takes us out of this place. And it's a transformation of this body from mortality to immortality, from corruption to incorruption. Then we're going to go on and we're going to understand a whole lot more than we ever stood before. We're going to walk with Him and reign with Him. And we're going to be kings and priests with Him. Hallelujah! But right now we got to understand we're simple mortals. And we need to understand that we cannot bring Him within our boundaries. He's a God that will do anything we want. Anything we want Him to do, He will do it. He said, if you will ask anything in my name, I will do it. You realize how powerful that scripture is? That is a powerful scripture. He said, anything. Oh, but I know God will heal a toe-ache. I know God will sometimes heal cancer. I know God will do this. And we always bring Him right back. But let's get out of that and realize God can do anything. He is more than enough. Would you say that with me? He's all sufficient. Would you say that? He's all sufficient. And He's more than enough. He's more than enough. He is the El Shaddai of our lives. He will do all things. No wonder David went on and boasted about how that the clouds was his chariot. And how that he, well, I believe it was Solomon said that he would skip across the mountains for his beloved. Oh, how great he is. How wonderful is he. He has all power. To us, we gain power. It's human nature to get exalted. And then we fall. But He has all power and He knows it. He's so great that He holds all things in His own power. But yet He's so wonderful and so great also. And small that nothing can live in the heart of a man. Humanity slapped Him in the face and turned the back on Him in the garden. And we went following that rebel, that anti-God spirit, Satan himself. Humanity followed Him and turned our backs on God. I often think sometimes, how did that make God feel? I'm sure pretty bad. But one day, that God is He is so great that He desired to come and take on Himself sin by hanging on that tree that was cursed. That He would take all the sins of the world on Himself that we could be set free from that sin. I'm reminded of a depth of love that I was reading about a small child made a statement. The child found herself, or the authorities found her, tied with electrical cord to a bedpost. Her face was swollen. Her lips were bursted. Her eyes were swollen, dark and black. Her clothes was blood-stained. Her hair was matted, sweat and blood. Her face was disfigured because she was a victim of child abuse. The article said as the child was taken out of the house, and as that child was helped along, as that child turned and it looked at the mother that had beaten it, the child made these statements. The child's name was Maribeth, I believe. Maribeth looked at Mama. She passed by and her lips were laid open, blood, painful, hurting. And she passed by Mama and she said, Mommy. She didn't say, I hate you, Mommy. But she said, Mommy, if I die, then will you love me? Mommy, if I die, then will you love me? She didn't know hate. All she knew was love. But no man has ever known love. No man has ever expressed love like the love of my God. I can see Him now as He was gone to Golgotha's hill. And there they were beating and mocking and slapping at Him and spitting on Him. And as He was trudging up that hill carrying the cross. And as they nailed Him to that cross and He suffered great pain like no man has ever suffered. Because it was not only a physical pain, but it was a mental stress and pain like man has never known. Because he that knew no sin became sin. He that hated that raunchy sin, that ungodliness, he knew was going to take it on himself. And I can see him now as he hung on Calvary, not defeated, but victorious. As he would look back over the aeons of time, over those that did not serve him and those that did not love him, as he looked into the future, into those standing about the base of the cross, and said, children, if I die, then will you love me? You've abused me. I give you everything in the wilderness. When you were hungry, I give you bread. When you were thirsty, the water came forth from the rock of Meribah. When you needed victory, I just said, lift your hands and I'll give it to you. And He gave him victory. He said, but you've turned your back and you went following after other gods over and over and over and over. But now here I've come to give myself for you. Honey, church, sweetheart. Say, that's personal names. That's the way He feels about us. He loves us. Say, church, if I die for you, then will you love me? He's a God of love. A God that is not interested in holding back to hurt. But He's sitting there wanting to give to you. He's wanting to give to me. If we'll just be willing to believe Him and trust Him. Say, God, I believe it. Your promises are true. Anything that I ask in Your name, it shall be done. Anything. Move mountains. He can move mountains. Amen? He can move nations. He can destroy an entire nation. He can build a nation. He can take down a church. He can build a church. He's not interested in taking down. He's interested in building. Amen. He's not interested in your loved ones dying without God.
He's interested in your loved ones being saved. And friend, He's not interested in you burning in a devil's hell. He loved you enough that He gave Himself that you might have life tonight and have it more abundantly. If I die for you, then will you love me? He's a God that is more than enough and all sufficient. He is as great as we will let Him be. And I believe that He's so great that He's going to allow and cause and work and function and make happen because of your faith and believing Him. The greatest revival that's ever hit is going to hit this part of West Monroe. Amen. Hit in this part of the state of Louisiana, West Monroe, Louisiana. I believe it. It will happen only if you will believe it. He will do it. Amen. How many folks on this side of the building, you believe that God can do all things? What about over here? Could I see how many hands that will believe that God will do all things? Now, I would like to ask all across the building, I know there's individuals, there's not a person in this building that doesn't have a need. You say, everything's fine, materialistically, spiritually, but what about revival? Is there revival in your heart? Oh, there's revival. Oh, you feel it. There's the response and the fruit of it's here. But is there revival in your heart? That is a need. What if you got a loved one that's lost and undone? That's a need. What if you're tired of struggling through life? That's a need. If you have a need, I want you to lift your hands right now. And I want you to give it to the usher of your life. Would you right now? Let's give it to Him in Jesus' name. Father, God, as these hands are uplifted right now, God, I want you to supply the need of every heart, every man, every woman in this building. God, those loved ones that's lost, God, I want you to deal with their heart right now while we're praying. While our hands uplifted to you, God, while we're lifting our heart unto you, God, I want you to deal with that man. I want you to deal with that woman. God, I want you to deal with this community. And God, let this place be shaken by conviction. God, let conviction leave these walls right now. And God, let it run down these streets like a mighty river. And God, let it run into every corner, every living room, every bedroom, every household, every business. And let every man and woman feel the call of Calvary. In Jesus' name. God, let this building have a drawing power. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. You're a God that is more than enough. A God that is all sufficient. Hallelujah.